Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
First player in MLB history with 8-plus homers and 17-plus stolen bases in a calendar month since 1901.
Yeah.
That, my friends, is Ellie De La Cruz.
Fly ball onto the track. At the wall. It's gone! Home run!
Turns on a ball. Deep right field. And gone!
What a game. What a moment.
What is up, my friends? Welcome to Flippin' Bats. It is Friday, meaning we have things that make you go, today. We have making a statement. There's some injury news about Mike Trout. There's this week in Shohei Ohtani news. And at some point later on in this episode, we're going to talk about a substantially large package sausage. And Alex, there's no way in the world that she gets through it. So stick around. We'll see how that goes. Alex, how are you doing?
Vibes are high today. We just had like a 2-minute music dance break before we started the show, waiting for them to get started. Like, nope, it was me. Sorry. We were just remembering Avicii.
Vibes are high.
Having a moment. You were at a concert this week.
Was I?
Yeah. You posted it.
Yeah.
I creeped.
Yeah. Went to Eric the Architect.
What?
Out in the middle of Silver Lake area.
Oh, wow. You ventured. Good for
you. Yeah, it was Elizabeth and I went. Her sister had tickets.
Yeah.
And she couldn't end up going like, do you guys want to go? And we were like, sure. So we went out there, had dinner out there, went to Eric the Architect.
I'd like to see Festival Ben. I'm guessing he's probably a good time.
I'm always a good time.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I've never been to a festival.
We've had Club Ben. Yeah, Festival Ben. You should check out Beach Life. That's this weekend.
Maybe.
It's the local one.
The local.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Friday, today, after this, Saturday. My husband's band's Pepper's playing Saturday main stage. So.
Alex said Friday. She said tonight, Sting is headlining.
And I was like, what year is it? Sting! The Police! Come on, everybody loves Sting.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. But we're going to get things started, not on such a high note, because we got some really heartbreaking news for the Angels and Mike Trout this week. He was in tears when he was talking to reporters, sharing that he is going to miss some time getting knee surgery, a meniscus surgery. It's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Torn meniscus, knee injury, surgery coming. He has said to not expected to miss the full season. But it feels like the same thing. Unfortunately, for the last few years, it becomes the same question. And the good news is he wasn't put on the 60-day IL. He was put on the 10-day. So that does tell me something about the length of time, perhaps, that we could be dealing with. But it's a larger scale picture for me. We're talking about Mike Trout, one of the all-time greats. And unfortunately, what we're starting to see is an end of a career similar to that of Ken Griffey Jr., where it was, this is the kid we're talking about. He's an all-time great. Look at the numbers he's putting up. And then injuries after injuries after injuries sort of led to the end of his career. Now, with Mike Trout, it just feels like year in and year out, we're dealing with something. And then the conversation always becomes the same. Well, is he going to come back? He might be able to make it back by the end of the season. Well, what's the point of rushing? What's the point of getting him back? He's with the Angels and they're not going to make the playoffs. What's the point? And I feel like I'm tired of having that conversation every single year, because eventually we're just missing out on Mike Trout time. And I don't blame the Angels for the injury, but I wish it could be this resurgence of like Trout's coming back. The Angels are in it. But no, the conversation always ends up being the same. And that's, okay, Mike Trout could be back before the end of the year, but what's the point of rushing him back? And we have that conversation every year. It sucks.
I think the hard part is like the last time he had a full healthy season, he was an MVP in 2019. And he was off to an MVP like start to this year. He was the first one to 10 home runs. He was on pace for 55 home runs and 33 stolen bases, which no player in MLB history has had a 50-30 season. But we just have not seen a healthy Trout, even before that 2019 season. In 2017, he had the torn thumb ligament, 2021, the calf strain, 2022, back inflammation, the 2023, broken
the
hand.
Bone.
Yeah, like it's just, he can't buy a break. And I'm devastated for Mike Trout, for the Angels organization and Angels fans, because he is that face of the organization, and he decided to spend his entire career there in Anaheim with the Angels, and he is as good as they come when he's healthy. And we saw that at the start of the season.
Yeah, it does suck. Still, you know, as of us recording this, he's still tied for the league lead in homers.
10 home runs.
Look at this. Since 2021, he's averaging 46 homers, 95 RBIs, and 109 runs per 162 games. But unfortunately, he's only played in 266 of a possible 515 games. So an all-time great. I love Mike Trout. It does suck for, he's one of the only players, there's not many, and nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but he is one of the only players, I think, in the league, when you hear Mike Trout is hurt and going to miss time, everybody, players, fans of any and every team just go,
bummer.
No,
yeah.
This sucks. Why does it have to keep happening to Mike Trout? And it's unfortunate. It sucks, but hopefully we get to see him back sooner rather than later. So get well soon.
He's won 3 MVPs. Do you still see him as a future Hall of Famer?
Hands down.
Yeah.
First ballot. No doubt in my mind.
Good.
No doubt in my mind. I mean, he's no doubt in my mind.
Okay. Yes. Good. Same page. Now, we might not be on the same page for this next segment because it is time for making a statement. I'm going to give Ben some strong statements. He's either going to agree or disagree with them. So let's get started with our first one because this guy has been on fire. Shota Imanaga was the best free agent signing.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of big free agent signings as a pitcher this offseason. You got Imanaga. You got Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You have Blake Snell. You have Jordan Montgomery. A lot of them out there. And what I am going to say is that Shota Imanaga was the best free agent pitcher signing. How do you say no to that? I mean, if this question were, do you imagine Shota Imanaga being the best free agent signed this offseason over the next 10 years? I think my answer might be different. Maybe. But right now, you can't argue what he's doing. He's 5-0 with a 0.78 ERA. 0.78. He signed a contract for 4 years. This is guaranteed. The guaranteed money. There are options and a lot more that goes into it. But for what's guaranteed, 4 years, $53 million. The biggest signing was Yamamoto, who signed for 12 years, $325 million. Yamamoto still has a 2.91 ERA, which is really good. And I think he is going to be very, very good. But as of right now, I can't possibly say that anybody other than Imanaga has been the best signing of the offseason. He's been unbelievable. I have an Imanaga jersey from when I went to watch him pitch in Japan.
Still.
I tried to wear it today. I couldn't find it. Shame on me. Got to be more organized. But I will find it. And I'm going to wear it a lot because the dude's a stud. So, yes. Best free agent pitcher signing, Shota Imanaga.
I mean, what an incredible start to a major league career. He has the lowest ERA in the first 6 career starts since ER was official in both leagues in 1913. Like, that is insane. That right there. And again, we've seen a lot of these Japanese pitchers come to Major League Baseball, and there's a lot of differences. And that's why you kind of give them a little grace, like right out of the gates. There might be a little struggle. Ball's different, mound's different. There's a different feel, language, culture, everything. Oh, not for Shota, man. He's shown up.
I'm excited for what we've been seeing lately with pitchers coming from NPB in Japan to Major League Baseball because that used to be what we said about pitchers.
Yeah.
But let's look at you have Shohei who came over and once when healthy was really good at the beginning. You have Kodai Senga last year, really good. Imanaga doing unbelievable. Yamamoto doing really well.
Yeah.
So all these big prized NPB pitchers that have had tons of success over there, the learning curve, if you will, or just the difference in the leagues hasn't really been weighing them down too much. And those differences, if you're unaware, is the baseball's different. They mm-hmm. don't pitch every fifth day. They're typically on a six-man rotation over there. And the mound is different. So there is a lot going on.
And culture,
and
language.
And not to mention
like
culture.
Everything.
And we're seeing a lot of these new guys come over again. Shohei, Imanaga, Yamamoto, Senga. And it just makes me excited for what's to come. And what's to come is Roki Sasaki. And I'm really excited about him as well.
I'm curious if they all talk to each other. Like maybe like now that there is a good group of them that's in the league over here, Major League Baseball, like maybe there's a little bit of like a big brother helping out. Like, hey, this is what you can do to help with the transition. I'd be curious to know. Because as you've mentioned, and again, there's been a smoother transition since Shohei Ohtani that we've seen on the mound. Okay, let's move to our next statement. Ellie De La Cruz will have at least 35 home runs and 80 stolen bases this season. Woo!
The fact that we can even say that and we're tempering down the pace that he's on for, he's on pace for like 45 and 104 stolen bases right now. 45 homers, 104 stolen bases. Unbelievable. And you'll be hard-pressed to find a bigger Ellie De La Cruz fan. Coming into this year, I was very high on him. He has even exceeded my expectations so far this year. He's unbelievable. Ellie De La Cruz will have at least 35 homers and 80 stolen bases this year. The realist in me needs to disagree with that. And I hope I'm wrong.
What about the enthusiast, the baseball enthusiast who loves to see these young kids come up and do exciting things?
It's got to be a balance, Alex. I hope he hits 100 homers and steals 200 bases, but the realist in me says that probably ain't going to happen.
Fine.
So I am hopeful that he goes. I hope he stays on the pace he is. To me, I think he gets to 80 stolen bases. I do. 80. The 35 homers makes me hesitate. I could see him getting to 30, maybe 30, 80. Cause he's,
if he gets hot.
Yeah. I mean, he's at eight.
Got a lot
first player
of
in MLB
left.
History. First player in MLB history with 8+ homers and 17+ stolen bases in a calendar month since 1901.
Yeah.
That, my friends, is Ellie De La Cruz. So
question. Is he a top NL MVP favorite for you? Now, obviously, Mookie is like just absolutely dominating favorites, everything. Good pick on my end. Where do you have Ellie in that conversation?
Should be. He's in the top three of that conversation right now. And if you really, I would say the top three are Mookie.
Yeah.
And then I would put Shohei in that conversation with the numbers he's put up so far. And then Ellie probably. And then I probably move Ellie into the top two because a DH is not winning the MVP award. A singular DH.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. I mean, Edgar Martinez didn't win one. Big Poppy didn't win one. I mean, it's so difficult to win an MVP award as solely a DH. So with Ellie doing what he is doing, he's got a 968 OPS on the year. I can't say right now that he's in the same category as Mookie. Mookie's on a different planet right now. It's Mookie Betts and the field. That's why I'm wearing a Mookie shirt.
Well, you're going to be eating your foot. Is that what you said?
Did I say eat my foot?
Uh-huh. Said I was crazy. And if he gets those numbers, I'll eat my foot.
I did say.
Yeah.
And we need to go back and look at those numbers.
Because
Alex had Mookie hitting like 60 homers and hitting 370.
No, I didn't have 60.
I think you have 45 homers.
I had high.
Like 360.
It's okay. A high three.
I think
like
my foot.
Between 50 and 60 average.
I think my foot is safe. Mookie might win MVP, but it is very early. Ellie De La Cruz should be in that conversation.
He's hitting 377 right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So
that's why I'm wearing a shirt.
You might be eating your foot.
Sure.
You might be on your foot.
But yeah, that's why. Look, I had Ellie before the season. I didn't pick Ellie to win NL MVP. But before the season, if you were to ask, and I did say that Ellie is a good value pick. If you wanted to bet on a lower odds player to win the MVP award, it would have been Ellie. And now he's right in that top few conversation in terms of odds. So does he get to 35, 80? My heart says yes. The realist in me says no. I think he hits somewhere between 25 and 34 homers, and I think he gets to 80 stolen bases.
All right.
I hope he gets to 30. 30-80 would be sick.
Come on. You got to hope for numbers like these.
I agree. I am hoping.
Yeah, you're letting the realist take over. Who are you? I don't even recognize you.
That's a good question.
Okay, let's move to the NL West and talk about last year's NL Rookie of the Year, because our next statement is it's time to worry about Corbin Carroll.
MVP CC. Maybe not this year.
No.
For the MVP award.
It's feeling like a sophomore slump.
But is it time to worry about Corbin Carroll? Where do I stand? I talked about him. We talked about him almost every episode last year.
Oh, yeah.
Am I worried? I'm not worried.
Why?
Well, he's hitting 197 on the year, one homer, five RBIs, and a 547 OPS. I mean, it's the first few days of May, and this is a sophomore slump if I've ever seen one. But what he proved to us last year is that he's a stud, and eventually, water settles.
I mean, it was He was NL Rookie of the Year and helped the team get to the World Series.
Yeah.
That's a lot in your first season to live up to. So it's, I mean, but this is a pretty big decline start to the season compared to that.
Is the track record lengthy? It's absolutely not. But it's a full season of me watching him and watching him before that, which is why I was so high on him last year, saying this dude's going to be a superstar in the league. He already emerged as a star. And I think he has an MVP award in his future. Am I worried about one bad month this season? Absolutely not. Sophomore slump. He'll be okay. I'm not worried about it.
It's a good dad way to look at it.
Thank you.
Yeah. The driver of the Corbin Carroll bandwagon. We haven't talked about that yet.
No.
Fan wagon. Fan wagon.
And there's a lot of talk about his injury. His shoulder, and last year he hurt it in July, and his numbers since then. That's to me why I'm not worrying. I don't believe that shoulder is something that's causing him to struggle so far this year. I just think pitchers, he's going to have to adapt to the league and the way they're pitching him. So this is the stat that I saw. Corbin Carroll hurt his shoulder on July 6th of last year on this swing. His numbers since, 425 plate appearances, just 8 homers, 38 stolen bases, but hit .259/.259, .345, .395. So those numbers obviously aren't near as good as the first half of his year last year. Here's why I say I'm not worried about that injury. It is the exact same injury that I have. Torn labrum, it subluxes there, meaning it like slides out and slides back in, and then it's sore for like a week. But it is something that you just learn to manage. And when it's not popping out, it's fine. I did it over a decade ago. Wow, I sound really old. I did that in college over a decade ago. I still haven't gotten surgery. It's majority torn.
Yeah, but doesn't that affect your swing?
No, that's why I didn't have to get, well, maybe.
But you said you have to manage it, so it is painful.
Maybe that was why I punched out so many times.
Probably. How'd that work out?
In terms of managing it, I just mean, like, I had to learn in the outfield, and watch this with Corbin Carroll.
Okay.
There's not a lot of diving anymore. It was a lot of sliding. So that's how I did it. I ran in the outfield, jumped to catch a ball, caught it, dove, landed, all my body weight landed. My arm was outstretched, and my left shoulder popped out the back. And that tore my labrum. And then probably 50 times since then, 12 years ago, it subluxes and pops out and I have to pop it back in. But when it's in, it's fine and it doesn't hurt. It's just when it pops out. So it's the exact same injury. That's why I can tell you, I don't think that's what's affecting him. I think he's just struggling. And that's okay. Everyone struggles at some point. And he's a really good baseball player and he's going to get out of it. Promise. So I'm not worried.
All right. Well, let's move on to your favorite segment of the week.
Oh,
I'll let you tee that one up.
It is time for my favorite segment of all time. This week in Shohei Ohtani news, we're going to talk about his maybe not so great start or week at the plate. We're also going to talk about his transition to the Dodgers and why this is a little bit different. If he goes through a little bit of struggles, it feels a little bit different now that he is with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So let's start with that week at the plate. I feel like for 2-3 weeks in a row, we've been saying how he's hitting every ball over 100. He's dominating at the plate. He's hitting .400 on the week. Well, this week, a little bit of a decline there. Hit .192, did hit a homer, three RBIs, a 558 OPS, lowering his season statistics to an abysmal 336 average with seven homers, 19 RBIs, and a 1.017 OPS. One bad week, no cause for concern. Still hit some balls really, really hard. The hardest hit ball of his career,
yeah,
might I add, came this week. So I'm not concerned whatsoever. It is just fun seeing him in that Dodgers lineup and not needing to constantly produce or else. The ball was 119.2 miles an hour. It was a single hardest hit ball of his entire career. So great week at the plate. No, but a historic exit velo there and literally zero cause for concern.
Well, it feels almost like he had a sandwich month, right? Because the first week of the season, not the strongest of his month. And then he had two really strong in the middle. And then this last week, also not that strong. But when it averages out, like, he's doing just fine, which brings me back.
Incredible. He's doing incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Great start to the season compared to all of his other seasons. So how has being a part of this Dodgers lineup helped Ohtani at the plate when he has a week like last week?
Well, I think this, the fact that we're having this conversation today, I think is perfect timing. Unfortunately, because Mike Trout just went down and got injured again. So imagine him still being with the Angels. And the only protection he ever had in that lineup was Mike Trout. And anytime Mike Trout got hurt, it became, all right, entire Angels organization, hop on my back. Let's try and win some baseball games. I'm going to carry us to victory as many times as I possibly can while maybe tearing down my body a little bit while we're doing it.
100%.
We now see him with a team in the Dodgers that is one of, if not the best team in baseball right now. They're playing really good. And Shohei can have a week where he doesn't play well. He can have a month where he doesn't play well. And the Dodgers are going to keep winning. And I think that in itself, what it's going to do is take so much pressure off of him. Mm-hmm. And I really like that for him this year. I like I love him to have an incredible season because it is good. If he struggles, let's say this week, 1 week of struggles means nothing. He's still hitting 336 on the year. But if he were to struggle for a month, I think he's going to be able to get out of it faster because the talent around him is fine and he's not putting all that pressure on himself. And I think that's where we see a really big difference with this team. In fact, he had the worst week of his season maybe so far, and the Dodgers have won 8 of their last 10 games and are probably playing their best baseball of the year, despite Shohei not playing his best on the week. So I am so thankful that, look, people, Angels fans might be mad at me. I am so thankful that he is out of that organization. The last thing I want to see is what has happened to Mike Trout, where we see one of the greatest of all time that, and we just never get to see him in the playoffs and we never get to see the organization like truly build around him and put that team around him that is going to have success for a long time. So now we get to see him win and we're going to get to see him in the playoffs. And I'm really happy about that. The game needs its biggest stars playing in October.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Angels weren't able to get there. They've only been able to get there for 3 games in the course of Mike Trout's career.
And got swept.
Yeah, and got swept. And now Shohei's in a place where, one, the pressure is all off of him. So he doesn't have to carry a team. And he's in the middle of that 1-2-3 lineup that is going to be really, really fun to watch all year long. And I think he's going to have more success because he doesn't need to be the guy.
Yeah.
And that this week we saw that.
I mean, that's huge. Like, he can still be a guy, but not all of the pressure in the world to be the hero. He's one of the heroes to help this incredible Dodgers lineup.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So, not the best week at the plate, but Mookie's still being Mookie. Freddie's starting to heat up. Freddie hit a homer the other day. Will Smith hit a homer. There was a B delay. I don't know if you saw it. We'll talk about
it in a
second.
Will
Smith hit a homer the day. There was a B delay. But yeah, Shohei will be fine. The Dodgers are doing just fine. And I am excited to see the full season numbers that he puts up.
Very nice. I like when you say the Dodgers are doing just fine. It's nice.
And that does it for this week in Shohei Ohtani news. What?
Yeah,
it's that time. You know what time it is.
Okay.
Alex, let's go.
It's time for our next segment. Things that make you go, No. Let's start. with the weirdest and possibly the, funniest, weirdest home run celebration we've ever seen.
What is it, Alex?
The Minnesota Twins home run sausage. What are you doing to us, Twins?
So that everyone can quickly grasp why this is so hysterical, we're going to play an interview from the Twins manager, Rocco Baldelli. Let's listen to that.
It's a summer tangy sausage is what it is. I actually looked at the package yesterday. It's bringing us a lot of hits and runs and stuff. So I'm all for it. I mean, for anyone that hasn't been following, it's a substantial packaged, you know, sausage that Jeffers has been carrying around in his bag and throwing at people when we score runs and hit homers. So I'm all for it. I'm slightly concerned as, like, I'm not even an adult, but slightly concerned as, like, more of an adult than maybe some of the people in the other room, that the package is going to open up and the thing hasn't been refrigerated in many days. And there's no doubt that when that thing opens up, whoever's touching it is in deep trouble. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that we are carrying around something that is very, very unhealthy to the human body.
A lot to unpack here. That might be one of the best sound bites I think we've ever heard. Carrying around a giant girthy sausage. And tossing it at your teammates to try to catch.
The comedic timing there. It's a substantial packaged sausage. And they're just out there. They're just out there flinging it around. No, they are. Stop. It's a home run sausage. Alex, I don't get what's so funny here. What are your thoughts on the sausage?
It's disgusting, but hilarious. I immediately see, do you know that meme with, like, the girl and the hot dogs just, like, all hitting her face? That's all I see.
It's a summer sausage. So apparently it doesn't need to be refrigerated.
What's a summer sausage?
I don't know.
Like a pickle in a bag?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All I know is a substantial, like, home run sausage. And it's...
I can't.
It's... Baseball is thriving right now with their celebrations.
I can't. Who? Why? Why are you doing this to us?
Oh, my God.
Why are you doing this to us, Twins?
This is... The soundbite is gold. They've won 10 games in a row, for God's sake.
He said it's getting us a lot of hits and a lot of runs. The summer sausage is getting us a lot of hits.
The summer sausage is bringing a lot of dongs for the Twins.
Stop.
What?
Stop.
Homers.
We're moving on. I can't. If I start crying, I'm not going to make it through the rest of the show.
Done better than I thought here. She lost it a little bit, but she really lost it while the clip was playing. So
It was good. That was good timing. Good timing.
All right,
okay.
On to the next. Good.
On to our next things that make you go, this one's a little more sad. Jose Abreu has been optioned down to the Complex League.
The reason this makes you go, is not because I'm not saying it wasn't deserved. But the guy is in the second year of a 3-year deal, and he's making about $20 million this year. And he was just optioned down to the lowest possible league that you can be in the U.S. in affiliated baseball. It sucks. And I feel for him. He was hitting 0.90. He's hitting .099 on the year. 7 for 71 at the plate. And I feel for him. Anybody out there that is, you know, shaming him or mad at him, he came out he's been so gracious in all of this. And by the way, with the amount of tenure that he has in the league, he had to agree to go. He could say, no, I'm not getting optioned down. He talked to Dana Brown, GM, and they decided that this is what's best for him and the team. And when he spoke to the media after, he said the hardest part about this is he's really embarrassed.
Yeah.
Here's what he said. He said, "You know what's been the hardest thing for me? And I say this from the bottom of my heart. I feel embarrassed. Mm. The people in this organization brought me here to do a good job. I haven't done that. The hard thing, too, is that my teammates see that I haven't done my job. Although they've always supported me, always been by my side, but I won't stay down." That sucks. It's really sad. And it just, it is, to me, the perplexing thing here is that you bring him over. He's a big-time free agent acquisition to put at first base. He's a year, 2 years removed when you sign him from winning that 2020 MVP in the American League for the White Sox. And they've brought him over, and he just hasn't been good. And it sucks. And hopefully he can go down there and figure out his timing, figure out his swing. He's late on everything. Everything.
Is that a mental thing right now? Like, you're just in your head?
He's aging. He's, you know, like, age regression is part of it. But if we can put back up that those numbers from StatCast and Baseball Savant earlier, I tweeted it. Here they are. I mean, if you're watching, you can see this. It's his like StatCast Baseball Savant numbers from 2015 through 2024. And it's all red from 2015, 2022. Was bright red in expected batting average, in the 98th percentile in the league, in expected on base percentage, 98th percentile. 2023, his first year with the Astros, a pretty big regression down into the, you know, 33%, averaging about the 30 to 35 percentile in everything offensively. And now fast forward to 2024, and those percentiles are the worst in all of baseball. He is the worst hitter across the board in every statistic. And it's just been an extreme drop off. So you can talk about age regression. You can say the contract wasn't the smartest with a regressing player, but this is more than just age regression. This is absolutely mechanics, mentality, and maybe a little bit of everything here. So just sucks. I feel for him. I hope he can come back up and be productive.
All right, let's finish things that make you go, on a high note, with the viral hero of the week, the Bee Daddy. Because we had a bee delay, Dodgers against D-backs game. And once he came in, man, got a standing O throughout the first pitch.
I can't believe it. This is unbelievable. What else can I say? Be serious for a second.
This was a two-hour delay.
This is a 2 hour bee delay. There was a massive swarm of bees above on the netting of the backstop in Arizona, and they had to call up their organizational beekeeper,
Bee Daddy,
who was at his son's
T-ball game
across town, had to travel for 20, 30 minutes to get to the stadium. And then he shows up, he gets on his beekeeper outfit, climbs to the top of the net, he's taking it in the moment, vacuums them all up.
Yep.
And climbs down, unveils his face, like throws off the, he's an entertainer.
He is.
He is an absolute entertainer. And then they had him throw out the first pitch. He got it signed. This guy is a superstar.
Whammy. It was so good.
Great performance. I've never seen anything like this, quite like this. I've had a couple weird delays throughout the course of my career. You play for a long time. You see some weird things. One time there was a wind delay because there were like patio seating in the stadium.
How strong is that wind?
And there was some patio seating, and the umbrellas on the patio furniture got lifted into the air, and there was like a tornado of umbrellas.
Oh my God.
And they pulled us all off the field. There was a delay for that.
That's weird.
Another one I had, this was when I was playing summer ball in college. There was a sun delay, but this happened every single game. They built the field in a direction so that...
WTF?
Yeah. If at a certain time, let's say the game started at 7:05.
Yeah.
At 7:30, we had to take a 10-minute break every game because the ball was literally coming out of the sun. So we had to wait
for the sun
to set. It was like a 10-minute delay. You just built it in if the sun was out. Uh-huh. So I'm sure there's more. I'll think of them. But
okay.
Wild. Never seen a B delay.
No. If you've been at a game where you've, like, what's the weirdest game delay that you guys at home have experienced? I want to hear these.
I would love to.
I want to hear these. Like, let's get them coming.
Oh, we did it. We did it, Alex. What? Oh, no.
No. It's good. I don't need to revisit. Close it out.
We're going to finish this before Alex goes down a bad path over there.
Yeah. We're keeping
fun
PG.
Episode. PG. We got a fun weekend ahead. Saturday with Smoltz comes out. You guessed it, Saturday. That is tomorrow. Make sure you check that out. We have Adam Wainwright coming on
Ooh.
Wednesday. New coworker of ours here.
Yeah.
Going to be in the booth a good bit this year. Going to be in the booth for the London series. So Adam Wainwright was an awesome interview as well. Talked all about his career with the Cardinals and being a teammate of Pujols and just a really, really fun conversation. So I'm excited for that one to come out. But Saturday with Smoltz tomorrow. We will be back then on Monday for the first episode of the week, which will be Team of the Month.
Yeah.
Player of the Month, because it'll be the first one of the new month. So thank you all for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify. You can also watch on Spotify. You can watch on YouTube at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We're getting closer and closer to 100,000 followers, and we do some really cool stuff on there, honestly. So follow us there. But this one has been a lot of fun. Thank you all for watching and listening. And until next time, my friends, remember, find your bat and flip it.